And now, to explain this exciting new mind breakthrough is the strongest force in the behavior modification awareness field, the president of the Joe Land Company, Mr. Joe Land.
Thank you. On behalf of the Joe Land Company, I'm pleased to tell you that there's a remarkable new self-help product available to those who want to better themselves. It entails a scientific breakthrough in the use of a concept that we've known about for a long time. We've found a way, a very effective way, of using the concept of subliminal as a new and dramatic means of improving oneself and to overcome negative personality characteristics, traits, and even attitudes. In the next 30 minutes, I'll explain to you how the subliminal self-help concept works. First, we have to understand, at least in general terms, how our mind functions before we can understand any means of improving or adjusting the things that our minds can do for us. The mind is divided into two parts, each with its own separate function. Roughly 12% of our mind is referred to as the conscious mind. It's the portion of our thought process that we're aware of. Conscious mind, meaning that it operates within the realm of our awareness or consciousness. The conscious mind engages in the thinking process as we know it. It makes decisions, and it's the only part of our mind that we've ever been aware of. The conscious mind can only think of one thought at a time and can only think about one subject at a time. Remember, the conscious mind contains our reasoning powers, the ability to make decisions, and it's where we consciously think things out. That's where we live. There is, however, another 88% that makes up the subconscious mind. Its very title, sub or unconscious, as it is many times referred to among the mental health professionals, describes what it is. It's that portion of your mind that functions without your awareness. You have no idea what goes on in 88% of your mind, and it's the most powerful part of your mind. It controls motor activity, telling your body, including its vital organs, what to do and how to do it. It also serves as a huge data bank. Your subconscious mind has been collecting and recording, if you will, all of the information fed to it by your five senses since the day you were born. If you think of your subconscious mind as a computer, it becomes a lot easier to understand what happens as a result of the collection or storing of all that data or information. As in the case of a computer, all of the information, the things that we've heard, seen, touched, tasted, smelled, have become programming to a large degree, and it serves as the database from which we get our feelings, our attitudes, and our priorities. When it comes time for us to make a decision, we of course do so with our conscious mind. But we're very much aware of what happens during the decision-making process, but what we don't realize is that our conscious mind makes decisions based on two things contributed by the subconscious. One, it makes decisions based on the information contained in our subconscious mind on whatever subject we're considering. Remember, we've been getting data on all those subjects for years, and it's all stored there. We refer to it. And secondly, our very feelings and attitudes, which of course contribute to the decisions we make, are controlled to a tremendous degree by the programming contained in our subconscious mind. In my opinion, the biggest single problem each of us as individuals face are the limitations that we place upon ourselves directly as a result of the wrong kind of programming which has been building up in our data banks for most of our lives. Unfortunately, most of us heard 20 negative things from our parents for every one positive or encouraging remark during our childhood. If you've ever wondered why you couldn't rake up the courage or the self-confidence to tackle something that someone else did but you'd never done before, in all likelihood, it was because when your conscious mind looked to the subconscious for data or information to base a decision on, what it got was feelings of fear, mistrust, and of the lack of ability to accomplish the task before us. And I'm sad to say that in many instances, there's also a feeling of unworthiness. It seems that our subconscious mind is tremendously impressed with our failures. Maybe because we give them such importance on a conscious level. Maybe it's because we tend to dwell on them and think about them more than we do our accomplishments. But in all too many cases, when the conscious mind wants to try something new, when you as an individual decide you'd like to do something you've never done before, possibly something that would mean greater financial rewards, the message, or maybe I should say the feeling that comes from our programming, from our data banks, our subconscious minds, is that of impending failure, unworthiness to succeed, or just plain fear. We also program ourselves with undesirable traits, characteristics, and habits. Most of us, for instance, grew up eating the wrong kinds of foods. And as the years passed, we not only programmed ourselves to eat the things that are fattening and unhealthy, we convinced ourselves that they taste so good that we had to have them, and in most cases, we decided we had to have them in larger and larger quantities. That's the major reason, at least in my opinion, that we now have an overweight nation. We also have other bad habits that most of us would like to get rid of. Smoking, for example, is the result of not only a physical addiction, but a mental one as well. The very fact that we enjoy smoking is the result of very bad programming. We've told ourselves we like to smoke. That programming was collected up over a period of years as we observed people enjoying puffing on their cigarettes and as we made it an integral part of our own enjoyable activities and get-togethers. The problem, negative programming, which controls us and the way we think, act, and live, has taken a tremendous toll. We find ourselves fearful of attempting to bring new ideas into reality. We continue to be a slave to our habits, such as overeating and smoking, and we stay in the same rut because our programming tells us that's where we belong. The proponents of positive thinking, such as Dr. Maxwell Maltz, Napoleon Hill, and Norman Vincent Peale, have for years told us that negative programming was the problem. They offer as a solution reprogramming the subconscious mind by making sure that only positive data goes into it in the future. Of course, even if we found a way to think and speak positively to ourselves and to others all the time, we'd still have the majority of people who are around us speaking negative things to us because they're negative for the same reason we are. They have negative programming. But the main reason these programs have not been totally effective is that all of the new data, that positive information, must go into the subconscious mind through the conscious mind. The conscious mind is the first to receive most of the important information we process and store. If we say or hear things that the conscious mind doesn't believe, when we hear things that are simply not true, then we have a tremendously lessened effect of that positive suggestion on the subconscious. To make the problem even worse, we've learned that the subconscious mind reacts most favorably to suggestions or affirmations that assumes that hoped-for future result as a present reality. If, for instance, you wish to become a happy, prosperous person, it's ineffective to tell your subconscious mind, "I want to be happy and prosperous," or even, "I'm going to be a happy or prosperous person," because the subconscious mind seems to deal in the present tense. Although it will help you move toward any goal being considered consciously, it will not give you the feelings, the thoughts, and the attitudes of a happy, prosperous person until it becomes convinced that you are one, or at least that you should be one now. Once your subconscious mind has received enough happy, prosperous-oriented, present-tense affirmations or suggestions to outweigh its present data of insecurity, unhappiness, and failure, then you begin to think, feel, and act like a happy, prosperous person. And only then can you begin to actually become what your subconscious mind, your data bank, believes you should be. People tend to get only what they expect. And a person who's convinced that they are, in fact, an unhappy, unprosperous person will feel and act like an unhappy, unprosperous person, and in most cases will remain that way no matter how much they wish to change. So you see, even a person who perceives his problem of negative programming and understands that he suffers from the wrong kind of programming is almost totally helpless to do something about it. But let's assume, in an attempt to better himself, he hires someone to stand by him all day long and repeat the words, "You're a happy, prosperous person." Now, that's tremendous programming, and exactly the kind of present tense suggestion that creates powerful, dynamic people. But as that message, "You are a happy, prosperous person," goes into the subconscious mind, its effectiveness is severely diluted because the conscious mind simply doesn't believe the message. After all, it knows, he knows, if you will, that he's not a happy, prosperous person. He is, in fact, very unhappy and dead broke. The message, then, that finally gets to the subconscious mind, that new programming, when it's received, is a suggestion that is simply not true. Anyone who's gone on a do-or-die program to try and change how they think or feel on any subject, from dieting to courage, will tell you that it takes a long, long time of saying things to yourself or reading them out loud thousands upon thousands of times before any effect takes place. And then, at best, it's minimal. The problem of the conscious mind's tainting of a future tense assumption suggestion is totally eliminated with the subliminal reprogramming. Subliminal is simply a means of communicating directly with the subconscious mind without the conscious mind's awareness of what's being said. Now, let's stop here for just a moment and define the word subliminal. Subliminal means stimulus, which is below the level of conscious awareness, but perceivable and understandable to the subconscious mind. Well, let me say that in a little easier to understand way. It's the things that are heard or seen that the subconscious mind understands, but the conscious mind is totally unaware of. There are many instances all day, every day, that your conscious mind sees and hears much less than the subconscious mind does. Subliminal is certainly nothing to be afraid of. You engage in the subliminal programming process every day. Remember, your conscious mind can only think about one subject at a time, but your five senses feed literally thousands of bits of information per second to your mind from your five senses. All of this information is stored in the subconscious. You were not consciously aware of it ever occurring, but your subconscious mind, being much more powerful than the conscious, perceives, understands, and processes and stores it all. You may be talking to someone, for instance, and while your conscious mind is totally occupied with that conversation, your skin senses and monitors the temperature in the room. The phone may be ringing in an outer office. There might be a conversation taking place just outside your door. A car might be driving by your window, and so on. All of this information is perceived subconsciously and is therefore subliminal input. Most of our nation learned about subliminal perception in 1957 when a movie theater in a little town in New Jersey played Kim Novak's movie Picnic. Along with the film one evening, some researchers flashed a subliminal message on the screen. The message only lasted 1/1000th of a second, which is much too quick for the conscious mind to perceive. The message was a simple one. It simply said, "Eat popcorn and drink Coca-Cola." Although no one in the theater that night saw the messages, that is, they weren't able to perceive them on a conscious level, they were not aware of them, the Coca-Cola sales at the concession stand increased by 18%. And the popcorn sales increased by a phenomenal 58%. That was our first indication that subliminal communication was much more powerful and persuasive than superliminal or conscious communication. If the message, "drink Coca-Cola and eat popcorn," were flashed on the screen at a much slower rate, or even left on the screen during the entire performance of the picture, it would have not been anywhere near as effective. Since then, a great deal of research supports the theory that behavioral changes can be successfully affected using subliminal communication. A subliminal message can be used to reprogram the subconscious mind. Because the message is not perceived or understood by the conscious mind, the affirmations or suggestions are fed directly to the subconscious in their purest, most powerful form, a present tense assumption. If I can send the message, "You are a happy, prosperous person," in a subliminal fashion, if in some way I can get that message through to your subconscious mind without your conscious mind being aware of it, it provides a tremendously powerful shortcut to changing the way we think, feel, and act, because it changes our programming. And because the person doesn't consciously participate in the reprogramming process, it's totally passive, and it doesn't take any conscious effort at all. Now that we understand the problem of our negative programming, and we know what subliminal is, and we see how it can provide a solution to the negative programming in our lives, we're now ready to understand subliminal reprogramming audio cassettes and how they work. As the result of a great deal of research, our company produces an audio cassette tape that looks very similar to any other cassette tape. When you play it, you're only consciously aware of the sound of ocean waves. You may listen as intently as you wish, but try as you may, strain as you will, you'll only hear the soothing sound of ocean waves crashing on a beach and the occasional sound of a seagull flying by. But there are multiple tracks, layers, if you will, of voices hidden in the sound of those waves. They're basically recorded at a lower level of volume so that the waves are louder and therefore cover them up. It's a lot more complicated than that, but that'll give you a basic understanding of how the tapes are put together. Each tape contains positive, direct, future tense, assumptive affirmations that are designed to provide reprogramming in keeping with the title of each of the programs. The weight loss tape, for instance, contains affirmations designed to change your eating priorities, your taste in food, the importance that food has in your life, as well as affirmations promoting exercise, a feeling of well-being, confidence, and a tremendous interest in how your body looks and feels. As a better means of understanding, listen carefully. You will first hear a woman speaking affirmations. Then, we'll gradually cover her voice with the environmental sound of ocean waves. We'll increase the volume, little by little, of the waves until you can no longer hear what's being said. But the voice will remain intact and in the waves, and remarkable as it may sound, it'll still be understandable to your subconscious mind.
You have the power.
You have the power
to achieve your goals.
You have a deep belief in yourself.
You make things happen.
You are an enthusiastic person.
You have control.
You have control of your own destiny.
You have the power
to achieve your goals.
That's how we communicate directly with your data bank. But speaking a positive suggestion, or even 1,000 of them, will only begin the process of putting in positive programming. We must continue the process until we have literally placed enough positive suggestions in your subconscious mind to overcome the years of negative programming which causes us the attitude and behavioral problems we're working with. Understanding that it took a long time for your subconscious mind to gather as much negative or undesirable programming as it now contains, it'll also take some time to put enough positive affirmations in to make a difference. Our subliminal audio cassettes allow you to accomplish this task in two ways. First, as I mentioned earlier, the tape contains multiple tracks of voices. Because the subconscious mind is so powerful and capable, having the ability to comprehend tremendous numbers of things at one time, we've found that we can place a lot of voices beneath the sound of the waves, all speaking affirmations at once, and speed up the process of reprogramming, because this allows us to put in large numbers of affirmations in a very short period of time. Secondly, because the process of audio reprogramming is a totally passive process, you can play the tapes for hours at a time without any involvement whatsoever on your part, which brings us to the subject of how to use this revolutionary breakthrough in self-help. Because it's one of our most popular programs, and because its use is fairly illustrative of the use of all of our tapes, we'll use as an example the weight loss tape. Let's imagine that you're 20 pounds overweight and have tried various diets which have been successful for a short period of time and were followed by a relapse which made the net effect of each diet that you always ended up weighing a little bit more than you did last time. Most people are overweight for two very simple reasons. Because they've been programmed to prefer fattening, unhealthy foods, they give in to their desires and eat the foods they like, even if they're aware that those foods are not good for them. To make matters worse, most of these people engage in what I call recreational eating, which means that over the years, they've not only trained themselves that those foods are good, but they've also come to the conclusion, at least subconsciously, that if good is good, then more must be better. And so we find ourselves overweight because we simply eat the wrong kind of foods and we eat too much of them. Diets don't work because while we're on a diet, we dream about the foods we love and we wait for the day that we've lost all of our weight so that we can go back to our normal eating practices and stop denying ourselves. This, of course, means that they're going to have a temporary change in their eating habits followed by a return to normal behavior. This absolutely assures that the weight will all come back. What in fact is really needed is a permanent behavioral change. If you remember what I told you earlier about how the subconscious and the programming contained in it dictates most of our actions, we can only change our behavior if we change our attitude. We can't change our attitude until we change our beliefs, and our beliefs can't be changed until we change how we feel. The way to avoid eating fattening foods is to change how you feel about food. To change your food priorities so that you actually enjoy eating foods that are less fattening, your subconscious needs to be reprogrammed about how much food it takes to satisfy you, and your subconscious needs to receive thousands upon thousands of affirmations telling it that being attractive, thin, and healthy is more important to you than eating. The weight loss tape in our weight control series is designed to do exactly that. Let's assume then that you ordered the weight loss tape. You understand the problem and how the process works, and you're ready to begin your reprogramming process. Step number one needs to be the purchase of the right kind of tape player. Any standard cassette player is suitable as long as it has an auto-reverse feature. Write that down. Auto-reverse, not auto-stop, auto-reverse. These players will play the tape continuously. First one side, then side two, then side one again, until you turn the machine off. I can't stress enough the importance of using an auto-reverse tape player. As I told you earlier, the more you play the tapes in your presence, the faster the reprogramming process will take effect and the more dramatic the results will be. If you use a standard tape player that does not have the ability to play side two automatically, there will be great lapses of time after the first side is completed before you realize that there's no longer any sound coming from your player. If, however, you play the tapes at such a loud volume that it's obvious to you when side one was completed, you'll still have to physically turn the tape over every 30 minutes. I can assure you from personal experience that this will prove to be too big a chore, and you will not keep the pre-programming process up long enough to accomplish the reprogramming necessary. If you wish to eliminate the audio introduction, which is at the beginning of side one of each of the programs, you certainly may do so by simply recording silence over that portion of the tape. You will find, however, that your tape recorder will not go into the record mode with one of our tapes in the machine because the recording tabs have been removed from all of our cassettes to ensure against accidental erasure. These tabs can be temporarily filled with Scotch tape stretched around the square holes on either side of the top edge of the cassette. The audio introductory message contained on our programs don't serve any purpose other than to ensure against mislabeling of our programs. Once you have your auto-reverse player, place it somewhere where you'll receive maximum exposure from it. It can be played at work. Because the concept doesn't need participation from your conscious mind, you need not pay any attention at all to the sound of the ocean waves. You may totally ignore the sounds coming from the tape and even the fact that it's playing. It also doesn't have to be at a high volume, certainly not high enough to be of a distraction to you or those around you. The ideal situation is to play the tape in a location so that you can be exposed to the sound for the maximum amount of time possible. If, for instance, you work in an office, place your audio reverse player on a desk or on a countertop nearby. Adjust the volume so that you can barely hear the sound of the waves when you listen for them, and then forget about it and allow the program to do its work, minute by minute, hour by hour, making you into a dynamic new thin person. I found that even if you have this kind of setup at work, there are still many days that you'll forget to turn the player on until mid-morning or so, and sometimes even until after lunch. This, of course, means that you're going to miss valuable programming time. You also, by the way, sometimes forget and leave the player running all night. Now, to solve this problem, I went down to a local electronics shop and spent less than $40 buying a reprogrammable timer. My auto-reverse tape player now comes on automatically at 9 o'clock each Monday through Friday morning and goes off at 6 o'clock in the afternoon. Most of the people who walk in and out of my office every day don't hear the waves. They become ignored background, much like an air conditioner or heater unit running constantly in any background. In fact, most of the time I'm not aware the tapes are playing, but because I have them on an automatic timer, I know that every moment spent in my office is providing new, fresh, positive programming for my subconscious mind. Many people allow the tapes to play all night as they sleep. Honestly, we really don't know whether or not the subconscious mind receives any stimulus while you're in the deepest stages of sleep, or whether the programming received during the light stages of sleep are highly productive programming times. But we do know that people who place their auto-reverse player in their bedroom and adjust the volume so that the waves are just a soothing aid to the sleeping process find that they get a tremendous benefit from the subliminal tapes. Our brochure and other promotional materials will tell you to use the tapes every day for at least 1 hour per day. This is a bare minimum. I personally don't believe you can receive too much positive input to your subconscious mind. And in order to determine how much exposure you should have to the tapes, simply remember that the more hours you spend with these tapes playing, the more positive affirmations your subconscious mind will absorb and be influenced by. As you listen to the weight loss tape, if you remember we decided to use it as an example, you will find that the changes are very subtle. If they're not immediately evident, please remember that you didn't formulate your eating habits overnight, nor will you overcome them in a short period of time. But little by little, you'll find yourself losing interest in food. It may take a while, but it'll happen. You'll notice as time goes by that you actually start to enjoy, even prefer foods that are less fattening. And at some point, you'll begin to notice that you're eating smaller meals with smaller portions. Not because you feel like you should, but because it takes less to satisfy you. You should become aware of your health and more interested in how you feel and how others see you. Of course, you'll need to contribute to the weight loss process by picking a diet you feel is best for you and by making a conscious effort to stay on that diet. But the reprogramming process from these powerful subliminal tapes will even help you with your conscious contribution. It'll give you more willpower. It'll make it easier to stay with a planned weight loss program, and it will change your preferences about food so that you'll actually enjoy staying on the planned diet you've chosen. If you purchase the entire weight control series, you'll find that the appetite tape is most effective when used during periods when you're tempted the most. Use it like a pain pill you'd receive from a doctor after an operation on an as-needed basis. The third tape in the weight control series, the maintenance tape, is designed to help you slip into a lifestyle, a lifelong program, if you will, of revised eating habits so that you can remain thin on a permanent basis and continue to enjoy the foods you eat. Well, that's it. In order to receive maximum benefit from the most dynamic and powerful self-help tool we've ever seen, you don't do anything once you've initially set up your tape player or tape players to automatically provide you with hour upon hour, day upon day of reprogramming. Simply allow them to play as background for your life. I haven't been without the sound of ocean waves for over a year now. I never noticed them, but I can sure tell you that I have noticed the tremendous change in my attitudes, my thoughts, and in the way I feel as a result of those subliminal reprogramming messages. In parting, let me tell you that, amazing as all this may sound, the audio subliminal concept really does work. It may not work as fast as you'd like for it to, but it will work. And the sooner you start, the sooner you'll be able to enjoy all of the benefits of being a brand new person who has the ability to do all of the things they've always liked to do and to be the person they've always wanted to be. This is Joel Land, and I wish you the very best with your subliminal reprogramming cassettes. God bless you.